The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 23rd of December, 2020. On the podcast today, Neil Ricketts, CEO of Vesarion, explains their acquisition of a portfolio of patents, including CBD graphene manufacturing methods from South Korea-based Hanwha Aerospace. Also on the podcast, Tony Fabrizi, CEO of Blue Star Capital, provides an update in respect of its esports portfolio as well as investee companies. And Keld Van Schraven, co-founder and managing director of KR1, talks about the performance of investee companies and why he's bullish for crypto in 2021. And Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare at SP Angel, discusses the FDA acceptance for filing of a new drug application for Polarian Imaging. Plus, as always, at the end of the podcast, I have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. We'd also see lots of other content. Check it out. It's one there, article on Open Orphan. There's one on Infrastrata, there's one on Polarian, and there's also a COVID-19 index. Biggest rise of the day is Dev Clever Holdings up 16% to 11.6. Biggest faller, Gene Drive, down 4.8 to 49.5. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Ricketts, CEO of Vesarion, VRS ticker there. Neil, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin, and a very happy Christmas to you.
Yeah, you too. And I see you're working almost up the wire. A couple more days left. Releasing RNS is here today. Acquisition, subscription, and sharing agreement. So, as always, Neil, you know, there's always people. I have people recommending you to me recently. And I thought, I know about Vesarion, but well, it's like a brand new company that I'd never heard of, you know? And so, some people not familiar with you, just explain what you're about, please, Neil.
Sure. So, we're a materials development company, been founded since 2011, and we're looking at the exploitation of graphene as one of those materials. And this announcement today is around the chemical vapor deposition production of that wonder material.
Yeah. And first of all, let me say one thing. It seems to be hotting up the electric vehicle market there. What evidence is there that I know graphene's a very conductor, that they can help? Because at the moment, of course, I have never bet against human innovation. I think range anxiety will be a thing of the past, and fast charging will be here very soon. But is there evidence that graphene can help in this area?
There is, actually. If you were to take apart an electric vehicle, you would see that we can use graphene in the carbon fiber composites that are being used to reduce the weight. Mm-hmm. Things like not only the body panels, but the devices to be able to hold the batteries, the battery trays themselves. You can use graphene in the trim and the interior parts. You can use it in the tires. You can use it in the wheels. You can use it in the cooling system. You can use it in the batteries and the supercapacitors, which are starting to make. And you know that we've got our company out in Spain developing our battery materials and our supercap materials using graphene as the scaffold, as we talked about before. And so pretty much every single part of an EV is an area in which graphene could potentially be used. We're working with the Advanced Propulsion Center up in Birmingham, up in Warwick, at the Warwick University, and on a program called TDAP. And what we're doing there is we're working with a number of car manufacturers. We're there looking at these developments. So it's something that is really kind of very topical at the moment.
Weight plays a massive part, of course, in reducing carbon. That's the whole goal, isn't it? Reducing carbon footprint. And, of course, even you know, planes, and they'd be going to electric soon, and weight is critical for them, of course. So I suppose there's a whole new field there. Okay, let's get into the news today. So acquisition of CVD assets. Now, you say it's chemical vapor deposition. What is that about? Why are you acquiring this company? Why do you need this this IP they've got? And just explain what that is, chemical vapor deposition, if you could.
Okay, so we're building a portfolio of materials in this area. So we started in 2014 with graphene nanoplatelets that were being produced up at the University of Manchester. And we're delighted with our relationship with the University of Manchester that keeps bearing fruit. That was the first of our products. The second product that came along was the graphene inks, which are a slightly different product, which came from our collaboration with the University of Cambridge. And again, that's a really big area of development for us. And now we've acquired a chemical vapor deposition facility. So that's all the assets and the IP that was originally came from the Samsung Corporation and was currently housed within the Hanwha Aerospace Group. And it's a different type of graphene. So people talk about graphene as though it's a single product, and it isn't. It's a whole family of products. And if we're to be the greatest and the biggest company, and that's our aspiration, then we need to have all of those various offerings for our clients. Now, a few years ago, producing chemical vapor deposition was very expensive, you know, tens of thousands of pounds per gram. You know, it was quite eye-watering. But what we've got here is a facility that can produce high-quality, large-format, electronics-grade graphene in commercially viable methods. And that is very, very powerful for us with our relationships with a number of our collaboration partners. And we always talk about our collaboration partners because that's what they are. We're intrinsically involved with them in the development of this technology. Mm. Now, chemical vapor deposition is completely different. So when we were talking about the EVs, we were talking about the kind of structural things, using graphene to actually enhance mechanical properties. And chemical vapor deposition is a completely different process for producing a different range of products. And this is about, in the same application, EVs, this is about the displays. This is about being able to use the windows as antenna, or being able to use them and having transparent heating circuits and things like that. So very, very important in all of the activities that we're out there. And now we've been able to acquire that without having spent tens of millions of pounds to develop that, which is what we estimated it would cost us. So we've assessed the capability, we've assessed the IP. So don't forget, this is a truly large portfolio of IP, which we can now talk to our collaboration partners and start to see, you know, a business model where we are licensing technology as well as producing.
Yeah, yeah. And logistically, how does that work then? Will you have any kind of operations over there, or will it all come back over here? How does it work?
Well, there's a very, very special relationship between South Korea and Gloucestershire, the county in which I'm very supportive of and live in. During the Korean War, the soldiers fought very, very bravely from the Gloucester Regiment to protect Seoul. And as a result of that, it's a very, very special relationship between South Korea and the county of Gloucestershire. So we're working very, very closely with a number of partners within South Korea to build a facility and to develop our business in there. And that's what the Landsted Sharing Agreement enables us to do. It enables us to expand. We've already got people in South Korea. And the South Korean journey for us started about 3 years ago, where I met Matt Walker on a Department of International Trade mission. And so we've been developing those links with all the big companies out there. And it would be our intention that now we've got an entity registered in South Korea, that we'll build on that. But it will be important for the UK as well, because we'll be doing a lot of the innovation and the development at the Graphene Engineering Innovation Centre in the University of Cambridge, which is so intrinsically linked to our business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, marvellous stuff. And within the news today, you talk about a subscription and sharing agreement. Can you explain what's happening here?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a different relationship to what most people are involved in on the market, because of the timing as we move towards Christmas, and because of the great support that we get from Landsted. We're delighted to be able to report that we've received, you know, £1.42 million of proceeds from the agreement already. It was just a much easier, much more efficient way, whilst the relatively small management team concentrated on the acquisition, that we didn't need to worry too much about the doing a roadshow and a placing and so on. So it's a very efficient way for the business to move forward. And obviously, you know, the proceeds of this subscription, you know, they do go up and down depending on the share price. But we've been very pleased with the proceeds as they've been developed so far in our relationship with Landsted. So, you know, it's just an easier way for us to be able to move very quickly in these circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as far as the year is concerned, you know, end of the year here, what's your thoughts been? And, maybe look forward to the next year. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think this acquisition today and the funding agreement is an important foundation for us to be able to develop the business moving into 2021. It's all about promotion. It's all about getting our name out there and getting the story of graphene out there, concluding some of the collaborations and getting products out there as we have done with the face mask and the textiles and so on. And if we look back at the year, we've had the G-Scale project. We've had a number of announcements with key partners like Rolls-Royce and Airbus. And, we've developed the business over a very, very difficult period of time. I cannot say enough good things about the team that work around me. This particular acquisition, you know, it's not a 9-to-5 job. We're working on three different time zones here. We're working on London, South Korea, and the US. It's very difficult for my team, and they've absolutely gone the extra mile for our shareholders and for the directors to be able to achieve this great acquisition in a very difficult time. So I can't say enough, and I hope that they all have a great Christmas, and they can put their feet up now for a couple of days and really enjoy some time with their families. For me, it's my father's birthday today, so I'm hoping that I'll be able to see him at some point today and enjoy a bit of downtime. So that's kind of our year in review. Lots and lots of stuff going on this year.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. Neil, as always then, if people are listening, like the sound of your progress you're making, then the sector you inhabit but are not yet following, give us those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button and add Vesari into their watch list, please.
So the first reason is that this is the graphene space is a material space that's developing very, very quickly, and we're right at the forefront of that, and this acquisition kind of hammers home how much we are building on that reputation. The second thing is, as I've talked about, our key relationships with not only our collaboration partners, which are large global blue chips, but also with the University of Manchester and the University of Cambridge, along with a number of other institutions in the UK and overseas. And the last reason is that this is an enabling technology for a lot of other industries, as we've spoken about today, whether that be electric vehicles, space programs, aerospace, or automotive. And so it's a place in which we can really see key developments over the next period of time.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Neil, good to chat to you, and have a happy Christmas, and hopefully we'll catch up in the new year. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tony Favrizzi, CEO of Blue Star Capital. BLU is the ticker there. Tony, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure, Justin.
Now, you've released an update on your esports portfolio, and we'll dig into that in a bit more in a bit, and I can see the stock price is up. But before we get into that, Tony, for someone listening right now who's never heard of Blue Star Capital, just summarise what the business is about, please, if you could.
Yeah, Justin, we are an investing company listed on AIM. We have two areas of investment. One is esports, where we have a portfolio of seven investments, and then we have two investments in the payment space.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, let's talk about the update on the esport portfolio there. What's happening there, Tony?
Yeah, well, today's news is really just to give people an update on the overall performance of the portfolio. When we got into esports, we decided to take a portfolio approach, because a lot of the companies we were looking at were at a very early stage, and obviously the risk there was quite high. So we thought a portfolio approach would be the best way forward. And, you know, I'm very pleased to say the performance has been, you know, very strong in the first year, up 120% on our original cost. And we've had two big successes in the year. And obviously, we've announced today a couple of smaller disappointments. But those companies are still, you know, looking at interesting deals. And we're still very hopeful. The five deals that haven't yet announced, you know, transactions, that we will get news from them in the next year. But in terms of the overall portfolio, you know, the big winners have so far been Guild, which, as most people know, listed on the standard list back in the beginning of October. And, you know, we're up significantly on that investment, which, you know, I think has got a long way to go. And probably more importantly, in my opinion, is Dynasty, which is our platform play, which has done incredibly well so far. Already announced four big deals, forecasting revenues next year of over $10 million. And, you know, I think that business has a significant potential to be, you know, much more than our market cap, certainly next year.
Yeah, yeah. Let's be honest. The direction of travel for esports is positive, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's all going in one direction.
Absolutely. I mean, it's you know, all the news, recent news of obviously the COVID and that sort of thing is so, in a funny way, is helping obviously esports because people are spending more time at home and just the whole industry is moving, you know, significantly forward. So yeah, we're very lucky to have got involved as early as we did, and the portfolio approach, I think, is certainly the right way to go. So yeah, we're very excited by that.
Yeah, and on the payment side, what, Satoshi Pay, what's happening there?
Yeah, Satoshi Pay, you know, obviously it's been a very long-term investment for us, probably longer than some people would like. But, you know, I think this year has been one of, you know, steady progress at the company. And although we haven't yet announced, or they haven't yet announced anything in terms of significant revenues, I think a lot of hard work has been done this year. And I think we're all feeling pretty optimistic that next year could be Satoshi Pay's year to finally sort of deliver on what everyone believes is potentially a very large business. So, yeah, I think an awful lot to be positive about in terms of our portfolio. The other payments business, just to mention, is Starla, which, again, has done had a very good year. Hopefully news next year on the big deals they've been looking at in Egypt. So we're up 700% on that one over 4 years, and I think there's a long way to go there. So, yeah, overall, the portfolio, I don't think it's ever been in a stronger position, to be honest with you, Justin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, 7%. That's a nice return if you can get it, isn't it? Wow.
We should have been putting more at the beginning, but, you know, unfortunately we had no cash at the time and we had to sort of, you know, scrounge around to get the money we did. But we've managed to invest something into it, and it's done very, very well.
Yeah, trouble is, that's always the way, though, isn't it? As an investor, you know, myself, I'm like, when a company goes very well, I think, oh, I should put more into it. And then when you put something more into another company, that goes down. You think, I wish I'd put less into that. You know, so it's almost nice to have a winner, whatever you put into it. Okay, Tony, yeah. Well, if someone's listening to this, likes the sound of the space you're inhabiting, what you're doing then, the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story, just give them the three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add Blue Star Capital to their watch list, please.
Yeah, well, esports obviously is a very exciting area, so we're a good player into esports. In terms of our payments businesses, Satoshi Pay, blockchain, crypto, another great play into that market. And just generally overall, I think our NAV is probably going to be significantly higher next year. So anyone looking for, you know, a very safe return, we're probably quite a good play.
Excellent stuff. Tony, good to chat to you, and have a nice Christmas. Happy New Year, and we'll speak in 2021.
Same to you, Justin, and rest of your audience as well.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Keld van Schraven, co-founder and managing director of KR1. Keld, thanks for joining me.
Good morning. Good to be on.
Yeah, and you've had a decent bit of news out, and we'll get into that. And also the market, the crypto market is very exciting at the moment. But before we talk about the detail, Keld, for people maybe not familiar with KR1, can you explain what you're about, please?
Yeah, sure. KR1 is Europe's leading digital asset investment company, supporting early stage blockchain and DeFi projects. We were founded in 2016, and we've invested and supported many of the key blockchain and DeFi projects that are currently in existence. And yeah, we generate quite healthy revenues per month. And yeah, we've got one of the longest track records in the industry. So yeah, that's KR1.
Yeah, excellent stuff. And I tell you what, you must be happy at the moment. I mean, crypto assets for a cracking year, Bitcoin rising over 200% in 2020. And what do you think has been the driving force? What's the momentum behind this renewed kind of optimism towards the sector, Keld?
Yeah, exactly. I think in short, it's demand. We're seeing lots of American funds, wealth managers hoovering up a lot of the supply of Bitcoin, and also Ethereum's really starting to get some traction with them now. We're seeing publicly traded investment vehicles that are coming up. The ETFs are all coming.
Yeah.
That's in short form, it's demand. But in long form, it's really like a trifecta of more regulatory certainty around Bitcoin. The SEC and the FCA could have really gone after Bitcoin and Ethereum, but they haven't. In fact, the SEC earlier this year said that Ether is not a security. So that was a pretty big moment. Mm. But they will go after the assets that are clearly centralized, controlled. We saw the lawsuit yesterday with Ripple. So that was just like a complete validation of that. So a couple of other factors in this whole demand cycle. The halvening effect.
Yeah.
So people have very short memories, but the halvening was in May this year. We've only had two halvenings before that, and the Bitcoin price pumped massively after each halvening six months later.
Yeah.
And it happened again. So, you know, this was very consistent, and that is super valuable trends that people can now say, well, next halvening, pre that halvening, there's probably a bear market. That halvening, you know, 6 months later, we should see some heavy action, price action. And the kind of the third really important leg of it is that we're seeing all these really incredible, well-known investors absolutely start to stock up on Bitcoin and Ether. We even have Ruffer Investments in London, which I think is the first significant fund in London to put $450 million into a fund. And then in America, we've had Druckenmiller, the George Soros partner. I mean, he's been heavily now into Bitcoin, acquiring that. Paul Tudor Jones. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the companies putting Bitcoin on there. In the treasury, like with a 1% meme, we've got Square and MicroStrategy. And these are kind of like anti-inflation hedge, you know, it's kind of a hedge against inflation. And they like the primacy of Bitcoin and the kind of the controlled supply and the security of it. There's no network like it in the world. And this is a trickling down from those investors into other assets like Ethereum, the Polkadots, the Cosmos. So that's kind of what we're seeing.
Yeah, I remember sort of one of the big banks talking down Bitcoin before they got a position, and now they got a position, they're very bullish on it. You recently announced three new investments called Lido, I hope I'm saying this right, Swarm and Hydra DX. Can you provide a bit more information about them and how they complement your sort of existing portfolio, please, Kel?
These, I think we've done over 50 investments now, so we're pretty well versed in, you know, what we like to see. We really love these projects. They're three exciting early stage seed investments. Mm-hmm. So we like to get in early and support the founders, and we know the founders of these projects very well. We felt very aligned to the missions. Lido's staking Ethereum, and that's going to be like a big trend going forward next year and into the future. And we kind of previously invested in Rocketpool, which is a similar type of service. It's not a winner takes all market. We love the team behind that, and we think this project is going to do really well. Mm. Swarm is like a decentralized Amazon web hosting for AWS, which means you can't take the service down, it can't go offline. And this is really for unstoppable apps that will run forever. And that's like a brilliant, incredible phenomenon, because you could actually run applications forever, and you can host pieces of information forever, you know, like in perhaps a few hundred years. Swarm will still be running with content that's been put on, you know, this year. So that's just an incredible thing. With Hydra DX, it's a market makers are quite an established thing. They've been going for a few hundred years. This is market makers on smart contracts, so automated. And this is like a totally new phenomena. It's just a much better efficient market maker to provide a liquidity for like long tail assets. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, we're really excited about all those projects. We think they'll do really well.
Yeah. And back on the 17th here, you provided an update on your Polkadot staking activities, which has yielded almost $1 million in 6 months. Do you expect that kind of returns to continue then, Kel, or what?
Well, that's a very good question. It really depends on the state of the dot price and the market. But we think, you know, there's many factors to say that Polkadot will perform really well in the future. And a couple of the examples are, one is that there's 300 startups launching on it next year on Polkadot. They all need the native dot token. That's only going to drive demand up. And that's very much like what we saw with Ether in the ICO phase in 2017 and 18, when you needed Ether to participate in ICOs. You're going to need dots to launch those startups. So that's only going to drive demand for that token. And we think that's going to appreciate the price. And therefore, when the price appreciates, our revenue, monthly revenue is going to increase. So, yeah, we're pretty confident with that.
Yeah.
I mean, staking is a bit like interest on idle assets. So, again, we were first mover on being a kind of institution to stake assets. Mm. So we've seen the significance of that. And our hope is just sort of like throwing it out there that we move from, perhaps we can move from 6 to 7 figures a month next year. But that all depends on the dot token price and the market and how that performs.
Well, yeah, if it does, I can see our share price continue to rise. And saying that, though, I mean, and I suppose it's a foregone conclusion here. You know, it's risen by over 300% from under 5 pence to 20 pence in 2020. And like I say, I assume if your investments do well, that'll continue on it for 2021. You know, what's your thoughts?
Exactly. I think we still feel like we're very early on this and we're just starting out. But we're now pretty experienced in the whole market cycles and in investing in projects and also driving revenue, which has been something that we started last year. So, we kind of sit inside our own little world, but in the sort of like macro movement of the crypto markets, and all the indicators are saying it's going to be like a very big year next year. We've got more regulatory certainty. This sort of renewed interest is going to drive demand, and we're going to see a lot more innovation, and we really invest and support innovation. I think we're going to see a lot more innovation in this ecosystem next year, and that's what we're going to be supporting. I think market-wise, I think what we're starting to see with the roughers and those types of things, we're going to see people having to come in and invest and take a position. And if they're not, they're going to get left out. So I think that's only going to be in our advantage because we're in the front row for investors realizing that we're an incredible opportunity to invest in. We've got a very good track record. We generate healthy revenue. We're well set in the future. So, we've been driving very good shareholder returns and we're going to increase that next year.
Excellent stuff. Well, do you know what? I was going to ask you for three reasons, but if they are different, let us know. Three reasons normally why someone should hit that follow button, Keld, and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, okay. We've got a track record which is second to none, and we invest in these incredible opportunities that are not accessible to many, and we generate really strong cash flows. Mm-hmm. This asset class is the future, and KR1 is one of the oldest and most respected investment vehicles in the space. Mm-hmm. And the third reason I'd say is really we've been doing this for 4 years. We're experienced. We've got a compelling story for investors, and they can go and see our results, which are they stand up for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely marvelous stuff, Keld. Good to chat to you, and have a nice Christmas, and hopefully we'll catch up in the new year. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare at SP Angel. You're right, fella.
How you doing, Justin?
Yeah, I'm good. Do you know what's odd? Very uncanny. I mean, we normally sort of record on a Tuesday, and I said, is anything going on to you on emails? Not too much. So, do me a favour. I've got an inkling. We may get news on Plarium on the 23rd. If we don't worry. Let's put it in the diary if you can. He said, go on then. If it drops, we'll talk about it. If news drops, we'll talk about it. If it doesn't drop the news, then if nothing's announced, we won't bother talking. And it did drop. And that's because someone, I don't know who, on Twitter, said, it's normally a 74-day letter. And I said, what do you mean? They explained it to me, but I forgot what it was about. I think it was delays and weekends and all that stuff. And so I said, okay, well, let's pencil in 23rd then. And it did news come out today, of course, from Plarium. On the NDA application to the FDA, new drug application. And let's be honest, everyone was pinning their hopes on a priority review, weren't they? Can you explain what that is, please? I don't know if you can.
Yeah, so basically, Polarian, when they submitted their NDA, which is a new drug application, that's the submission when you're asking the FDA for an approval for your product, okay? So they submitted that in October. And as part of that submission, they asked to get it reviewed quicker, which is called a priority review, okay? So normally, in the way the submission that they applied for, it was a 12-month review process because they asked for thing called Hatch-Waxman, which is an extension of the market exclusivity period. But anyways, look, they were expecting, as a normal NDA submission, you expect a 12-month review process. And they asked for a priority review, which would have shaved 4 months off of that. Okay. Yeah. And then they have 60 days or 74 days, as you just mentioned, to get a response from the FDA on A, the acceptance of their application, which is the NDA submission, which they got today, and then an answer on their additional request for a priority review, which is that, you know, shortening of the review time by 4 months, which they didn't get, which is, in my opinion, not the end of the world because the company kind of put it in as a bonus request, and I don't think anyone really expected it to begin with, as in to that they were submitting for a priority review.
Yeah,
so that was always, always kind of a wild card. You know,
yeah, exactly. And Richard, the CEO, said to me they weren't going to do it anyway. And then because of COVID, they thought, oh, there may be a chance you'll get it. But I think also COVID is complicated things because I've looked on the FDA website of applications and it's phenomenal, the amount of applications. And I tell you what's flooding the system is you'd be surprised how many COVID testing companies are submitting for priority review via FDA.
Yes.
And I think they're literally flooded with applications for it. And
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. I think the FDA is saturated. It's, you know, there's so many things. And we've seen it in other AIM stocks, Gene Drive, for example. Remember, I think it was not too long ago, completely unrelated. This is a diagnostic testing business, but they made some filing for an emergency use application for one of their products in May. And it's normally a few week turnaround time and they still haven't received an answer. You know what I mean? So I'm not reading too much into this. I think you and I discussed that maybe some of it was in the price in the priority review. We've seen a price adjustment this morning. It's already coming back. If anything, I see this as a buying opportunity because, you know, the only difference here with this priority review business is that instead of as they originally planned, they were going to get the approval date of October, which they now have, which is October 2021. The hope was maybe they would get it a bit sooner and it would only have been 4 months sooner, which would have been sometime in June. So it doesn't change anything. Their plans are exactly as they were originally. An accelerated review period of 4 months doesn't make a in my opinion, a bloody difference to the valuation of this business. You know what I'm saying? This is all about getting their products out in the market once they get once they hopefully get their approval, which there's no reason to believe they wouldn't in October. From now until then, now they continue on with their pre-launch prep, which was always part of the plan. And hopefully get a few more machine sales because, you know, they're selling it they're already selling their product into the research use only sector. And they're selling it to ever bigger institutions like MD Anderson recently, which is a big oncology center in the U.S. It's back to plan A, which is quite frankly only 9 months away now, just over 9 months away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know
it's
what?
Not that long ago.
You know, I tweeted. I said, a drop is often an op, and I did a sort of rough, calculations on their market opportunity, and I said even if they get 1% of the MRI market, they're going to be worth over $1 billion. And I said, and essentially, it's a good investment, isn't it? People add this to the MRI scanner, but used more, it's an investment opportunity for most hospitals. And like I said, there isn't tech to compete with it. So, I genuinely think, I know 1%, it seems like a lot, or maybe not a lot, but I mean, I think that 1% penetration is doable. And if you look, even the top 100 institutions they're targeting would make them re-rate from here massively. So, yeah, it's one of those things that... it's not a big deal, and it would be nice to have it, but like you said, it's not to be done. But already, like you say, the market hasn't got any smaller. The market has got bigger because of long COVID, sadly.
Yeah.
And so there's more, you know, opportunity, more commercial opportunity for Plarium. I genuinely think, you know, they should have probably given it priority review because it's much needed. But like I said, I think it's down to an admin thing. They just can't cope with it. And they get under pressure already, the FDA, for dragging their heels, apparently, on the vaccines. So, you know, that's a massive... and let's be honest... You know, if they're dragging the heels on the big vaccines and they're slow on that compared to everyone else,
that's a good point.
They're overworked completely. So, yeah, I did say, you know, a drop is often an op. And in this case, I think I said a while back to you, I said, I think if you look at any company that has, you know, phase three clinical trials behind them, massive commercial market, and they are sub 100 million market cap, that's, I think that's a bargain, you know, because they're not going to be here for long. So, yeah, but
I couldn't agree with you more. And I like the way you say it. A drop is an op indeed in this case. Yeah. Many people have watched this stock go up and up and up and looked for the opportunity to get in. Here is a good opportunity. You're absolutely right. It was a 10% move this morning or something like that. It's already being corrected.
Yeah, so it went down to 17% down. It's now only 8% down. So people and the average daily volume on this is 220,000 shares. Whereas today we're talking at 9:15, it's four times that already. So people, I think, are buying. Obviously, someone's moved it down. People are buying it. So there we are.
Well, there you go. There you go. And like you say, it was a nice to have, and it in no way affects their application. Back to Plan A, which was, like we say, you know, it's in 9 months' time is the big approval date, and that's not that far from now.
And what the funny thing is, you know, I remember when they first got the phase three trials, and we thought, okay, so the share price moved up towards that, and it rallied towards that. Then we got the result, positive result, and it didn't really go anywhere because it was sort of expected. Now, what's going to happen again is this, you know, we are expecting to get passed on this, you know, in October. So people think, oh, I'll just drop off and just fall away now. No, it won't. It'll rise, you know, 7 months before the phase three happened, it started rising anyway. So as you know, the stock market books ahead of time. You know, people are looking down the road. It's all about future pricing, future earnings. So
correct.
I don't think it'll go to that far because people just buy it again. It'll rally again. So someone said to me, if they don't get this NDA, it'll drop to 50 pence. I thought, yeah, you wish. Just because you haven't got any stock, it won't go to 50 pence. And like I said, it's going nowhere near that, you know?
And you are right. This is a very common feature of in drug development specifically, and you know, with this company, with the Xenon side, this is filed as a drug, although it is a drug device combination business. But you see a big rally usually in the run up to the date that their approval date is scheduled for is October 5th, 2021. It's called the PDUFA date. So you often see this run-up to PDUFA dates. And so you're absolutely correct. And it starts anywhere between six to 12 months before. So we're well within that period. You know, we're in the nine-month run-up to the PDUFA date in October next year. And plus the company isn't, you know, it isn't without news flow. They do continue to sell these machines. So, you know, I expect more news on that in the coming 9 months. I would also expect, this is the important bit that you mentioned, is COVID is one indication, long COVID. That's, you know, we'll hear more about that as well, I'm sure, over the next 9 month period. But we'll also hear about other indications. So you're correct. The applications are growing hugely. I mean, they're just going into bigger and bigger indications. For example, oncology with MD Anderson. That's why I keep going back to that. It's another big area. And it was a new area that's opened up for Plarium, run by a big center. We saw that article in the BBC on long COVID work done by Oxford University, which is using Plarium's machine. So yeah, all these things are still to come in terms of the development of those projects, getting more news flow, getting the scientific publications coming out. That is what the next 9 months are about. There is a lot of news around this, around the work that others are doing using these machines already. Yeah. And then the company themselves in terms of selling these machines. So that's what I expect the next 9 months to be. You're correct. This is a good opportunity to get in. I think you probably will see it. You know, we never know. No one can guess what share prices do, but often you do see a run up ahead of a PDUFA date.
Yeah, yeah, exactly so. Marvellous stuff. Vadim, thanks for coming on. Have a happy Christmas and a nice new year, and hopefully we'll speak in 2021 when hopefully we'll be going back to normal, you know?
Hopefully, awesome. Hopefully. Yeah, yeah. It's been a tough year, Justin, and have a good Christmas and year, and let's see what the virus brings in the new year. Hopefully we'll have a better 21.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and they are at five. Ilika. That's the second EV play of mine. I was going to release a video, but it started breaking out, so I thought, I'll reveal it now because the share price is moving, so give people the opportunity to sort of do some quick research. But it's a big EV, solid-state batteries. Their peer in America is QuantumScape, an investment by Bill Gates. Solid-state batteries, valued at $40 billion. It's pre-revenue. At four, Intelligent Ultrasound, non-mover 13.75. At three, Tirupati, I always have a problem saying this. Tirupati graphite, and there's no graphite. Graphite. What's wrong with me? And that's down 3.6% to 66.5. At two, Powerhouse Energy, down 11.7% to 6.8. And at one, Active Energy Group, up 15.55% to 0.825. All right, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. Rambler Metals and Mining, LOI signed to sell Nugget Pond Gold Plant. At four, Melody VR Group, launched into Asia via exclusive Singtel partnership. At three, Jangada Mines, year-end newsletter. At year-end newsletter, wow. At two, if you're liking that. At two, Open Orphan, successful completion of toxicology study. And at one, Polarian Imaging, FDA acceptance for filing of new drug application. And let's have a quick look at the most read here. It is your Powerhouse there, Polarian, Open Orphan, pretty much all the same. Or Remote Monitoring Systems, RMS, update on fundraising and response to announcements. And at one, Avacta, submission of CTA for AVA 6000 Pro Doxyrubixin. I probably pronounced that correctly. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much as appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.